Dear listeners, Sai Ram, greetings, a very good morning and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Service Love in Action and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai in the service of Sai from Team Radio Sai. And today I am accompanied by Brother Prem who will be helping me in playing the files from the audio console. Well, at the very outset, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the voice and listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony, our heart and soul. Well, dear listeners, today is 5th of December and the time right now in our studio is 3 minutes past 11 a.m. Well, the winter has set in here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. Mornings are generally cold and the climate is very pleasant as the day progresses. It's a mixture of sun and cloud. But whatever it is, whether the climate, temperature, atmosphere, festivals, people, anything and everything here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram is filled with divine vibrations, as Bhagwan chose this holy hamlet Puttaparthi for his incarnation and made it the headquarters to impart his sacred teachings and message to humanity. So we at Radio Sai take this opportunity to bring these sacred vibes and messages of Bhagwan Baba to your homes through various Radio Sai programs, and we hope you are enjoying it. So as I said in the beginning, this is the segment Service Love in Action, and in this segment we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Well, today in this segment I would like to play for you a conversation that I recorded on 2nd of this month, that is just a couple of days back, with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba, currently serving Bhagwan at the Sri Satya Sai Books and Publication Division of Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust here at Puttaparthi. Well, he has got a long list of educational qualifications and academic credentials. He has worked with the U.S. Army and with NATO forces. More importantly, to whichever country he went, he was involved in service activities in his own way. So in today's episode, we will listen to few snippets of these activities. But before I play for you that conversation, let me briefly read out his long resume. So, Mr. Bhatnagar has got many master's degree. He has master's degree in Sanskrit from Kurukshetra University, then MLit degree in Sanskrit from Punjab University, then MSc education from Southern California University, USA, Masters of Public Service from Western Kentucky University, USA, and MSc in Library Science from Indiana University, USA. His experience is very much varied. He was the Director of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Program with U.S. Department of the Interior. He was also the Educational Counselor with the U.S. Army, the Education Services Specialist, again with U.S. Army, then Education Services Officer with NATO forces in Germany, South Korea and Bosnia, and Education Director with NATO forces in Afghanistan. And after that, in the year 2012, he retired and settled down here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. He has got a lot of awards, a total of 117 awards, which includes the Meritorious Services Medical Superior Civilian Services Award and Commander Awards for Superior Services and a Medal for Global War Terrorism. Mr. Bhatnagar has also written many, many books on Swami, about 13 books, 90% of which title were which he donated to the Sri Satya Sai Publications Division, and he is currently writing his 14th book. Well, let me read out some of his very significant books. They are, the first one is Sai Charanam Archana, then Significance of Sai's Divine Lotus Feet. The third one is Gayatri Mantra, the Mother of the Vedas. Then Gayatri Archana. Then Significance of Festivals at Prashanthi Nilayam. Significance of Functions at Prashanthi Nilayam. And the list goes on. So let's now listen to the conversation that I recorded with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar just a couple of days back. And in this conversation, he gives us his experience of being in the country of Afghanistan. He was there as the education director for the Allied forces for about 6 years, and he was involved in whatever capacity he could in some service activities in whichever way he could. So let's listen to this conversation.
Sairam sir, greetings and a warm welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you very much, Sairam.
So this is a segment, Service Love in Action. And in this segment, we discuss about the various service activities undertaken by Bhagwan's devotees, wherever they are and in whatever capacity they can. For Seva, Swami is the inspiration and the guiding force behind. In fact, Swami has stressed and given a lot of importance for service to humanity in many of his divine discourses. Swami has told, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, that is, service to man is service to God. So, sir, professionally, you are the education director for Allied Force, and this profession has taken you to many places around the world. And wherever you went, you were involved in many service activities, right?
Right, sir.
But what is interesting is that you were in the war-torn region, Afghanistan, for about 6 years. And even there, you used to do seva to whatever capacity you could. So today, in today's conversation, I would like you to talk about the service activities in Afghanistan. But let's keep it for a while from now. Let's start from the very beginning, as they say. So how and when did you first come to Swami's fold?
It was a month of May or June 1983 when I had a dream. In the dream, I saw a long line waiting for darshan in front of a temple in my hometown, Bathinda, Punjab. And disregarding the discipline of following the line, I went straight and touched the feet of Sai Baba. It was Shirdi Sai Baba's idol. When I woke up, I was totally transformed. I had a very intense thrust to know more about Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba and Shirdi Sai Baba. So the book somebody donated 1 year ago, which was lying under the table and never touched, I started reading and borrowed a videotape on Shirdi Sai Baba. And then I start feeling that he is really avatar, and we started our bhajan at our home start in August 1983. Subsequently, September, October, in November, we celebrated Swami's birthday in a hotel in Korea.
So it was Shirdi Sai Baba's birthday or Satya Sai Baba's birthday?
It was Satya Sai Baba's birthday. I was reading a book of Kasturi, Loving God, when the passage came, and my heart was telling me, the inner voice was telling me, celebrate my birthday, celebrate my birthday. Though I had never had any experience, and we did not have any picture of Shirdi Sai Baba or Satya Sai Baba in our home. So, but we picked up the ball and had a portrait made from a Korean artist, and we did a kirtan in a hotel, Crown Hotel. After the kirtan was over, the green background of that portrait turned into big aura behind Swami's, like a light is emerging.
Okay.
That was very sensational. And also, when we watched videotape, and we found that altar that we have established in that hall, banquet hall, and that hotel totally relegated. Instead, there was a big om. Instead of dot, there was a bust of Satya Sai Baba with a benediction pose, abhya hast, granting a blessing. And because we sent a letter 5 days before starting this celebration, Swami come and bless us. Actually, Swami gave his darshan and blessed all. It's not just me. The next day, 50 people came to watch that videotape. And everybody was amazed. How did it happen? So then I became devotee of Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba.
So when you first came to Puttaparthi for having Swami's darshan?
It was April 1984, and I came here, and it was not cycle once, it was what is called sand dunes, you can call it. And we were sitting on the heap of sand, and Swami gave darshan, and immediately there was a whisper that Swami is going to Vrindavan, and he left. Then I went to Professor Kasturi's place. Somebody directed me to find out what will be his next program, and he told me, go immediately to Vrindavan, Swami will be there. So I went to Vrindavan, and there was a token system. I got number one token in the line, and Swami came straight to me. I touched his feet and I burst into tears. I don't know, some powerful hand removes my hand from his feet because I was wet with my tears. That joy was so blissful, and that created a book, Science and Archana. That was my first book.
Okay.
Because of this experience.
So you wrote a book.
Science and Archana. Then after that another book came, Significance or Divine Lotus Feet.
Mm-hmm.
Both books are related to Divine Lotus Feet.
Okay, that time did Swami interact with you? Anything you can share with us?
Swami talked to us, how are you, and that's all. And he granted us an interview later on in Vrindavan also too, where he told us, me and there was another person, my friend, that he asked me, when you will go? I said, tomorrow. Then he asked, when will you go? Tomorrow. Then third time he asked, when will you go? Tomorrow. Then he said, tomorrow. He put stress on two. That means he was actually telling me Advaitva, non-duality. Two means two. There's no two, you and I. There's only one. Unity of God and you, you are one. So this is the thing he did. And secondly, he told about bhakti. He told me that either become so humble, because we are all shackled, we are all in fetters. So if you are having a shackle in your hand, so either become so small that you can pull out your hand, or become so strong like Hanuman, you break it open and you are free. So, and third, he put my head over his lap and recited a mantra. When I came out, I started writing books. And that was the first book, Sai Charan Archana. It is only because Swami's grace.
So you came to Swami's fold in the year 1984, mm-hmm. and then onwards you started writing books on
books,
Swami.
After that interview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it's been almost 30 years and you have written about 12 books, right?
13, and 14th is under review.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
14 books on Swami, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go back to our main topic. So you were the education director for Allied Forces.
Mm-hmm.
So how you happened to go to Afghanistan?
Actually, I was posted near the DMZ and my position was abolished. And I said, Swami, you are sending me back somewhere and where should I go? And they gave me 30 days notice.
So where were you posted before Afghanistan?
In South Korea.
In South Korea you were working.
I was working and a position was announced and I applied and I got selected.
That is education director for Allied Forces. Okay.
And in Korea I was education officer. So it was a promotion.
So so you had to go to Afghanistan. That was the offer. Posting. Okay.
And the posting itself was a miracle too, because being a war zone, you have to complete a lot of formalities before you are posted in war zone. You have to be morally, you have so much investigations conducted. When I went I was taken to Germany from a NATO headquarters, and they processed my paper and just told me go to the airfield in Heidelberg, and from there I will fly out to Afghanistan. But when I was waiting for a flight, the car came and told me, you cannot go because you have one thing is missing, which is critically important. This is a Swami grace. I was brought back to NATO headquarters and they told me, yes, you cannot go. But here this divine intervention. And the person who interviewed me, they took me to another office in the same headquarter. He was from Africa, Nigeria, Nigerian guy. And he asked a lot of questions. Then he told me, okay, what I will do, you complete this online course and I will give you temporary permission. And which I did. And he gave me temporary permission. This was Swami grace too. I spent 6 years And nobody questioned my stay there.
Nice. So now, sir, the country of Afghanistan is known for the terror and war. So can you please briefly describe the local condition of the place in which you are there in Afghanistan?
Situation is critically, extremely volatile.
Even today?
Even today.
Okay.
Actually, it is getting worse and worse because departure of NATO forces is scheduled next year. And Taliban are putting a lot of pressures on NATO forces. How they do? They are sending suicide bombers. They are using their own people who joined Afghan army. And then their soldier, Taliban soldier, he exploded himself. And they mine a rocket, a sniper. So many, every day there is a casualty somewhere on the line. Also the big problem is those people are 97% totally literate. They cannot read and write their own mother language.
Oh, 97%. 97%.
And they are extremely poor. So poor, what was India 1947 when we got independence, they are poorer than those of us who have witnessed poverty in India at that time. There is no post office, no landline telephone, only mobile phone are used. There is no electricity. NATO forces provided some generators, just like we use here when power outage is there. So, schools which are run for girls are volatile to Taliban attacks. They are bombarded and girls are killed. It's very hot. There was no medical. When NATO forces occupied Afghanistan in 2002 or 1, there were no adequate medical services. Hardly very few hospitals were there because everything infrastructure destroyed by Taliban. So NATO forces reconstructed and improving medical services, education services, but things are far, far behind.
So please name the place where you are there in Afghanistan.
I was posted in Khost. It is only 8 kilometers away from Pakistan border. And in Khost, there is a Gurdwara also too. There is a small Hindu temple also there too. Now, because of Taliban rule, all were either killed or ousted from the town. Only few Sikhs are there and few Hindus live there. But they are always in a terrified situation. We never know when these people will come and blow them off. So, that is the situation. It is a small town. Where Hindu used to live, it's called Hindu Bara. At that time, the population of Hindus was more than 500. Now there are hardly 10 or 12.
Oh, is it? My God.
Because Taliban either driven them away or killed them. Or some left came to India, Fush.
Now listening to you, the condition is very scary and if I can use the word, it's very horrible situation. So in this condition, what were the service activities that you were involved in?
On the outskirts of Khost town, which is also within the same district of Khost, there was a military base. I was posted there to render services for soldiers, eligible civilian people.
That was your profession?
Yeah, it is one of my profession.
Okay.
I was not involved actually with military operations or shooting. I was not wearing uniform. It was just civilian. I was selected because of my unique academic qualification. I had a master degree in education, master of science in education. I had a master of science in counseling in public service. I had a master of science in library science. They need a blend of this type of background because you are going war zone. You will need all type of situation and you should react and you should provide. You should consolidate. So I was among the long list. I was the only person who met the requirement. And not only this, you must be mentally, physically, morally competent without any stigma on your background. So that was the reason I was providing this education services.
So what was the seva in which you are involved in, sir?
The seva that we did was limited within the boundaries of our post. We used to get near about 1,000 local people who come to base for different services. We had three shifts, morning shift, afternoon shift and night shift. So normally our seva used to be actually on daily basis. Not only this base where I was posted, I used to go to other bases too. Wherever I went, we conducted the same way too, because local people were the foundation to provide basic services like running laundry, cleaning, dining facilities, packing, wrapping, everything they are done by local people. These are the people who came to the base and we used to provide seva for these people, local people. And how we did it? Because these people, their salary was very small.
Yes.
And their family size in Afghanistan, one person is earning and 10 to 30 people are being fed on one man's salaries. So it's very difficult. They are having a very poor clothes. So we used to provide clothing and shampoo, soap and toothbrush, paste. But primarily we used to provide energy bar, so that they can get strength, biscuit, cookies. And these were our daily things that we used to provide. And also, these people, since illiterate, and if they have any problem with the management, with the supervisor, and they want to submit a petition, they used to come to me for help, to write on their behalf. So I used to do for them too. Also, if they need some type of information, like one time in dining facility, there were 56 people working, local people. They went on strike. Going on strike is not authorized. So all of 56 people were fired because it was a military base. It's not a union. It's not tolerated. So these two, three people came to me for help. And they pleaded, look, we have such a big family. If we lose their job, how we are going to feed our family? So as I listened, and my heart melted, really. I prayed to Swami, Swami, please teach me how to help these people, because their story is very pathetic. And we want to help these people. In my office, there was a Swami photos, always in front of me. So I used to pray, you know, before starting any work. So I sent email to my chain of command and giving reason why it should be taken as on emergency basis. And my email went to the post commander through chain of command. And he called immediately meeting of contractors for whom these people were working. 49 out of 56 were rehired.
Okay.
And the 7 people who were called so-called leaders, troublemakers, they were not hired. But they were given a choice. They can send those 7 people, either their brothers or their adult sons, to work in their place. But they will not be hired because they are troublemakers.
Okay.
So whole situation became very calm. I was so much thankful to Swami, you for helping this thing. Similarly, other questions come when they need some type of help, that they don't allow time to offer their namaz. Because new supervisor from USA, he does not know that 5-time namaz is a mandatory for Afghani Muslim people. They feel disruption if they go. So explain on their behalf how it is so much near and dear. If you displease them nawaz, so they will be very much offended. They may not be working professionally or satisfactorily, because disgruntled individual become a problem for the manager. So as I give him the 5-10 minutes, doesn't matter. So now it became a rule. Okay, 10 minutes break for nawaz. So in this way, whenever any problems comes up, I pray to Swami, guide me, and then try to use wisdom to help those people. There was another group of people on our base. These people were from third world countries, primarily from India, Nepal, and Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. when I went there, these people I watched 1 month. They have nothing to do because their shift was 12 hours a day. They have two shifts, 7 to 7 p.m. or 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. 12 hours, 7 days a week. And 12 hours after that, they did not have anything to do except meeting and gossiping and slandering. This is also Swami's grace too, that I had, because of my high rank, I was assigned a room which was primarily for three people, three officers. I was accommodated in their room, but Swami's grace, nobody showed up during my 6 years. Only one British came, he stayed for 2 months, he was very nice to me, he told me, you can conduct bhajan, I have no problem. So we started in November, 30 November 2006, in my room. The reason is this in my room, because in war zone, accommodation is very, very critical.
Mm.
Space is very limited. They cannot keep constructing because a rocket track is happening, sniper is shooting.
Mm.
So they make very limited, but it used to be very cemented and very strong, so rocket attack can be sustained.
Okay.
So these people, our third world country, blue collar workers, they used to stay in one room 20.
Oh.
15 to 20 in each room.
Mm.
And they used to have a double decker bed.
Okay.
One, then on the top, second one.
Mm.
And they keep their belonging on this side by hanging. That's it.
Very congested.
Very congested. So there's no place.
Yes.
There's no place to do puja. So another was option to do in the church. The church people will feel offended if we go there. Here the Swami came to our rescue. Swami gave me room, though it was allotted for three people, other two people did not show up. I was given information they are coming, but did not show up because they were afraid of that coast. Coast was very notorious. Its nickname was Rocket City because we used to have frequent attacks on rocket. So, anybody has a rocket city, we don't want to go. So, in that situation, we had one room and all people, 20 people can be accommodated in that room. So, we developed our own booklet, our own bhajans. When I came during my vacation, I took a lot of books from Puttaparthi, developed our own booklet, made a Xerox copy, gave it to everybody. So, we used to do bhajans, which is nine bhajans. Then we used to do with five types of gayatris, Vedic gayatri, Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha, and then Sai Gayatri and Hiranyagarbha Gayatri, other gayatri. Then we used to also read Sai literature also to on that. Then we used to discuss on that. So we used to follow all these three things, and the seva was our daily basis.
And these bhajan sessions were?
It used to be only Thursday.
Okay.
Because time was such that only thing we found convenient, because it is for them. For me, I'm temple was in my room, so it doesn't matter. I used to do every day, Suprabhatam, Omkaram, every day in my room. So I used to say, Swami, how great is that in the Taliban land, Suprabhat is being sung every day. Really, I used to do puja both times, morning and evening. So that is my ritual before Sai temple. But for others people...
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday, because that is for them convenience. So it was convenience for them. So we used to do it. Also for prasadam, we used to order mithai from a local person because we cannot get out. Very
sweets.
Dangerous. Sweets, yeah. So they used to... But their sweets is very inferior quality. Is it just like sugar balls, really, gulab jamun, barfi. So that is a very, very, very poor quality, inferior quality. But since there was nothing, it used to be very interesting, sumptuous, delicious.
Yes.
Yes.
So how are the people responding, sir? Can you share a few transformations that you have seen in the people who used to attend these bhajans?
The one thing is this, these people also... totally literate. Very few people, though they were from India, but they have background was very little education.
So all kind of people used to come, like local Afghans and Indians?
No, local Afghans did not come because they were staunch Muslims. If any Muslim observed that another Muslim watching, the minimum person beheading.
My God.
Yes. And we cannot do openly, because if they do openly and if they find us, they may send a rocket on us or a spray bullet on us. So it was a Taliban's and a very, very staunch fundamentalist, ruthless, heartless. And we have to do in our own way, hidingly. That's why in Khos, where 500 Hindus and near about same number of Sikhs were there, all were driven away. Now, in that bhajans, the transformation, you see, we saw is, now they found a purpose. Our people from India, Sri Lanka, and Nepal, and Filipinos did not come. They did not come. But these people came, and they enjoyed singing bhajans, and also listening the story about Bhagwan Baba. And this is the thing I want to tell you. Everybody has some problem. They used to pray. I said, we used to have a session after bhajan is over. For a few minutes, do silent prayer. Whatever your problem is, tell to Swami in your heart. You need not to speak loudly. Everybody will do silent prayer. So, their prayers, nobody told me their prayer was not answered, but they were happy. I give you one example. This is a collective prayer we did one time. There was a group of Chennai workers. 2-3 people of India from other states. So primarily this were 9 or 10 people working for Amina company. And this owner of this Amina company was Pakistani but American citizen. Their company's main mission was to provide escorting to local Afghan people. Local Afghan people cannot walk independently. For 5 local Afghan people, there used to be escort who will watch their activities.
Okay.
Because we don't know who will be Taliban. Create problem. He can plant a bomb or something, though their pockets are searched before entering into the base, but still we never know. There's always hidden pockets. So their main mission of this company was to provide escorting, that means to monitor their activities. So in this company, there were 9 or 10 Indians also too. So this company became notorious. They did not pay the salaries even after 2-3 months. Now this company, because a lot of complaints against the company, they lost contract.
Okay.
Now another company from Uganda, they took over and they were given notice. 3 months, you have to wind your business and get out from Afghanistan. So now all these people became scared because he did not pay salary for 3 months. Now they lost contract. He will run away and they will remain deprived because most of these people come to Afghanistan via Dubai. They had a loan 2-3 lakhs to pay to their agents in Dubai to come to Afghanistan. Because they paint a very rosy picture, they will make a lot of money. But nobody was getting more than $500 a month. Anyway, when these people came to me, and I suggested, write a memorandum which I helped everybody, and say, go to see commander, base commander.
Now these people have to go back to Chennai.
Yes, and before they went, I told them to send to commander and write all your problems. In the meantime, let us do prayer. So, come and prayer collectively. Can you imagine all these people? They cannot go to Afghanistan, Kabul, because they have lost their visa had expired.
Okay.
If they detect at the immigration office in Kabul, they will put in jail. So, only way for them is to go to Kyrgyzstan, another route, very long route. Because up to certain point, military plane will take them out. So, Kyrgyzstan, there's an army base also too. So, they will go by military plane because it was a routine. Because since they were on mission, from there, they will take a civilian plane. And contractor, that person, Muhammad, who was the owner of that company, agreed to buy their airline ticket. And he paid all their 3 months salary. Everybody reached Chennai. Nobody lost single penny. This is a really divine intervention. Other employees from Pakistan, some did not get any very partial payment or very little payment. But these 9 or 10 people get full payment and they got airline ticket too. And there were similar incidents a little bit like this, where we can see Swami's hand. So their faith in Swami got confirmed. Like there was one person from Gorakhpur. He was a generator supervisor, you can call it. Technician also too, you can call it. He used to come. He was educated.
He used to come for bhajans.
Bhajan, and he was educated, and I gave him some book to read also too. But one day he came and said he lost his job because they refused to renew his visa. So he has to go back. So I found that his faith in Swami has become shaky. I said, pray to Swami to bring you back. Please, pray. He did. And after 2-3 months, I saw him again. He came back. And he was from Gorakhpur, and he told me he's going to make a temple of Bhagwan Satyasai Baba in his hometown. I don't know whether he did or not, but at least he shows his enthusiasm, his faith in Swami. So there was a Muslim also too with local people too. Because whenever I give food, like a biscuit or crackers or cookies or shampoo or soap or toothbrush, toothpaste, I always say Sai Ram. So they used to call me Sai Ram Chacha.
Okay.
Chacha means uncle.
Yes.
Whenever I was walking and I can see from distance, Sai Ram Chacha, because they cannot come to me because they are being escorted. So I used to go them and give it to them. I used to have a lot of pockets in my pants and other. So I used to fill all the time. So whenever I heard a Sai Ram Chacha, I used to give. So they used to, who's a Sai Ram? I explained to him. One day or some people showed me the interest of having the picture. I gave it to them.
Of Swami.
Of Swami. One person has a problem with his marriage because the girl, the marriage was a problem. So I said, if you want, pray to Swami. Another person was lost job and he wanted to have a job. I said, pray to Swami. One person got a job in Dubai, much more lucrative position what he was getting here. Another, he got married and had 2 sons.
Mm.
There are persons who had picture of Swami. So, because of giving any items as part of seva, I used to always say Sai Ram, Sai Ram. So, people on that post, almost 1,000 local people knew who the Sai Ram is. So that is the thing. And our Indian people who were never attended any Satya Sai Center activity, now exposed to several activities through learning verbally or by reading the books and other literatures.
They came to know about Bhagwan.
Yes, because I had access to, in my office, it was a Xerox machine and computer for me. There's no restriction. I can make as many copies as I want because I was in charge. So I used to make copy, give it to them, you know. So who knew how to read and write, they took advantage of their literature.
Yes, sir. Very nice listening to you. Now, sir, this Afghanistan, as you said, it's a war zone area country, and the people there are staunch Muslims. And in the place where you are staying, there were frequent rocket attacks and firing. So in this area, you used to do some service activities and conduct bhajans. So obviously you will be facing many challenges and troubles. So can you share with us few challenges that you faced and how you saw Swami's unseen hands to come out of these challenges?
Actually, every day was a challenge day. In Afghanistan, every day is challenge day. Whether you are on post or outside the post, whether you are a local person or you are foreigners or belonging to the NATO forces, it doesn't matter. Because rocket and bullet doesn't discriminate. To answer your question, I will cite a couple of incidents.
Yes, that will be nice.
See, our building was in the middle. And one time a rocket came and hit the first building.
Next to your building.
Yeah, next. Big hole, it came in, then it turned left and came out of the again wall and hit that water bladder.
Okay.
The water bladder were to accumulate water for drinking purpose. One bladder can hold more than 1,000 gallons of water. Actually, and there were several bladders that were there. That, from that bladder, the water used to be supplied for drinking. Drinking and other hygienic purposes. So, you can see, had it hit our building, how much damage would have caused. But it hit the first building. Another thing is, I used to wake up every day, even still I wake up near about 3:30 or 3:40 every day here, there too. So, 4 o'clock I used to go for shower.
In the morning.
Morning. There was a shower building. Shower latrine building was for all people. There were several, but it was a cluster, you know. It was 4 a.m. I had my bag, plastic bag, in which my underwear and towels and soap, toothpaste, everything. So I used to take to the shower room. And when the moment I stepped out, the announcement was made that enemy is on the base and stay in your rooms. And after a few minutes, we see very big thunder sound of explosion and bullet firing and all over, and rocket and helicopters. So it was very scary. I closed my door and we remained cooped up until 2 p.m. At 2 p.m. they lifted ban and we were allowed to move out freely. And the thing which I want to share with you, there were 20 Taliban attacked the base. When we came out, we wanted to know what happened. They told me that 20 Taliban attacked the base. 13 have a suicidal explosive belt around their vest. Their mission was to enter through the airport. They cut the wire, and from the boarding facing airport and came in. 12 were killed while crossing the airfield. One actually crossed the airfield and came on the road. On the road were our residential quarters. It is a very highly crowded place because all residential quarters were clustered. And his idea was to explode that explosive belt in front of our residential area.
A suicide bomber.
A suicide, person.
Okay.
And there were 13 were there, and 7 ran away, but they were killed outside, and 13 came in, one crossed the airfield, and he was ready to explode that explosive belt. And at that moment, the American soldier on the tower, he fired at him, and he was instantly killed.
Okay.
And the way his hand was found, it was a really split of second.
It was just about to explode.
And it was in front of our building.
Okay.
So, how much damage would have caused? And all Taliban's infiltrator was killed. They were all eliminated. And this is the one incident. Another was, this is very scary. And it was 2012 May. 2012 May, I think it was 1st or 2nd May. And I was writing book at that time on computer on Sai Mahasamadhi.
Okay.
I was writing at that time and the time was 12:50.
In the afternoon?
12:50 afternoon. Office were open. All of a sudden, there was a very huge, thunderous explosion. Because being living for so long time, I can recognize the sound of bullet, rocket, and AK-47 or hand grenade, RPG, or all this. I can recognize the sound. But this sound was very distinctively different. And so, wow, it's a differing noise. Then, from my window, I see such a cloud of sand or dust storm. And the visibility was zero. Visibility was zero. I cannot see anything. Only dirt storm. So I was scared. What happened? Everybody was scared. What is happening? Because we know that some bad has happened because every day something happened. Then after a few minutes, hardly 4 or 5 minutes, then we started hearing shooting. What happened? First Taliban exploded at the main gate. Some suicide bomber exploded himself at the main gate. So all rapid reaction force went to the main gate.
Okay.
Then they exploded this truck. This truck contained 5,000 pounds, which is equal to 3,000 kilogram explosive.
Oh my God.
And on the, in the explosive were kept nails and other dangerous things to hurt people.
Mm.
And to hide this thing, they covered it with sand on the top. It looked like that it is a construction truck going for delivering the sand.
Okay.
Because construction was taking place all over.
Mm-hmm.
So this truck was parked on the remote boundary area. 12 to 1 is a very, very crowded period. And a lot of people go for lunch, shopping and walking. At that time, they exploded this thing. And when they exploded, the boundary was wide open and two trucks came. In each truck was 5 Taliban, heavily armed, RPG, AK-47, hand grenade, machine gun, and they start shooting in that highly crowded area where stores are, where dining facilities here, where our building was there too, education center, a residential area further, airport is there, and there were 10 people. And our building had hundreds of bullet holes. Our building is a concrete building. And one bullet pierced through the door, went into the classroom and went to another classroom, such a powerful. Soldiers who were waiting for help from us went out to see what happening and they got shot. And they came in, they were brought in actually in a wounded situation because bullets were hit. So all our doors were open. We were put in a corner and whosoever went out got shot. I am trying to tell you one thing is this. I was at the time when I see blood all over in our education center building. And one lady soldier was screaming, crying because she had never seen any casualty in a war zone. And at the time I was so calm and quiet, so equanimity, equipoise, unruffled peace. I was amazed. People were shivering because they will be killed. I was still working until I was told that you have to be cornered where all civilians are there. You have to leave this office, go to another room.
You are still writing the book.
In spite of all those things. This is divine grace. Normally it cannot happen. Only divine grace can bring this type of thing. Though our building and cars around us were hit many times by bullets, and one Taliban came almost 100 yards from us, but he was surrounded. He was killed, otherwise he might have come, because our doors were open. The reason of they kept all doors open, because soldiers were coming in to load their weapons and get out and start firing.
Okay.
And we were also in that room too. So my window was open and bullet can come through the door, but not a single bullet hit my door. So my door was open. Also the wall of my room was not hit, but all other buildings part of our building had hundreds of bullet holes.
Oh, okay.
So this is a divine grace. And what happened? Because of the explosion, 3,000 kilogram explosive that exploded, impact was so strong that all buildings, our dining facility collapsed. That building collapsed. And some people got injured. One Indian, he got killed. Because he came out and the bullets were firing on. He was from India, Punjab, but he was not coming to the center. He was not coming to the center. And he got killed. One American got killed, but not a sign devotee got injured. This is the, I call it sign grace.
Yes.
And sign grace gives strength, energy to withstand this onslaught, really. This is I call divine intervention.
So listening to you, I feel they have really made a justice by naming the place as Rocket City.
Yes, you are right. It is actually justified.
So sir, with so much of explosion, firing, lot of terror attacks, still you were there for 6 long years in that place. Now, as you said in the beginning, that in your room where 3 peoples were supposed to stay, other 2 peoples didn't come. They were scared to come. But still you were there for 6 long years and you continued these bhajans and also were doing small service activities in whatever capacity you could. So what is the inspiration for this? What made you do this? Why were you not scared and why you didn't come back to India leaving the job?
See, because this position, I always considered it is Swami's assignment. Swami has sent me. Another thing which I did not mention about is that in Afghanistan, while I was in 6 years, I wrote 5 books.
On Swami?
On Swami.
Okay.
One was that Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba and Lord Shiva. And second one was Sai Shiva Linga and its significance. And third one, Sai Vibhuti Prasadam and its significance. And fourth is the Sai teachings on marriage. And fifth one is the Gayatri Mantra and its significance. And sixth one, which is related to its Gayatri Archana. And the seventh one, which I completed, is called Sai Bhakti Sutra. When I came here, I worked on publication division, I was told that somebody is writing on Sai Bhagavatam. So I did not tell anybody that I have a manuscript on Sai Bhakti Sutra, which is a 550-page. Really, it's not a sutra, it's actually Sagar, Bhai Bhakti Sagar. Maybe its time will come when this book will also be published.
Now, sir, you said being there in Afghanistan in the period of 6 years, you wrote 5 books on Swami.
Six.
Six books on Swami. Now, what is the inspiration? Like, with so much terror and bombing going on.
This is, I'm feeling, is all Swami grace. Swami gave me resources, Swami gave me courage, Swami gave me fortitude to bear all this. It did not affect me. It did not affect me. Now, after this incident on Mai, I start getting a very clear signal from Swami to get out. To get out. Very clear signal.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, when Swami wanted me to stay, whatever problem come will be solved.
Okay.
When Swami gives signal, get out, whatever we want to do, there will be problem. So, then I said, Swami, I'm coming. Now, I want to come to you at Prashanti Lilyam.
So, during the 6 years, you used to come to Puttaparthi and Swami's darshan?
Twice a year.
Okay.
Twice a year. And I have been coming actually for so many years, twice a year, sometimes 3 times a year.
So this used to charge your battery and you used to go back fully charged.
Because I feel without His grace, nothing can happen. I still believe it. I'm not the doer. I'm not the doer. He is the doer. So I always say, Swami, give me strength, energy, wisdom to carry out your injunction, to carry out your mission, to carry out your work. I am your puppet, you are the master, you pull strings, I dance to your tune.
So now sir, before concluding the conversation, I would like you to talk in general about seva, service. Why we should do seva and what are the benefits of being involved in service activities?
See, the three things are, three dicta are guiding seva activity throughout the world. One is, you mentioned earlier, hands that serve are holier than the lips that pray.
Yes.
Second is, help ever, hurt never. Help means seva. And third is, a manav seva, madhav seva.
Service to man is service to God.
Yes, service to man to service to God. And this is the dicta, which everybody know it. But also there are some quotations which are very inspiring. Whenever I come, I always go to Western canteen to enjoy food.
Here at Puttaparthi.
And when you enter the entrance gate or door, on the left side on the wall, there is a Swami message. The message says, man's foremost duty is to serve his fellow man. Your life will be redeemed if you involve yourself in serving the society. The highest sadhana is to transform your love into service. That is true devotion. See, in this quotation, there are keywords are devotion, love, service, society, and highest sadhana. See, all Swami lectures, if you read any discourses, are centered on these five terms. So, this is the highest sadhana, your love transfer into service. This is a true devotion, Swami says. When you transfer your love into service, that is a true devotion. So, this is the very important quotation. And also, Swami mentioned in his discourse, in Chankatha, he cited this story that there was a king. And he used to ask from sages and saints or courtiers who visited his court, tell me which is the greater seva.
Greatest seva. Seva. Okay.
So which is the greatest service and which is the best time to render their service.
Okay.
But all answer he received from them were not satisfactory. He did not get satisfied. So one day, while pursuing the forces of rival king, he got separated from his troops and got astray. He became thirsty, hungry, and dejected, frustrated. Where to go? Then he saw a light. It was a twilight. He saw the light and there is a, followed that light and found there is a cottage, hut. So he went there, stopped and knocked the door and one hermit came out and he welcomed him, gave him a welcome cool water because it was very hot summer, asked him to rest, serve the fruit. Then after recovery, king asked the same question, which is the best service?
And at what time?
And what time? First he said, which is the best service? So the sage said, when a lonely person, tired and frustrated, come for water, and providing that cup of cool water to quench this thirst is the greatest seva. Then he asked, what is the best time? He said, when he is thirsty, when he is tired, and he needed badly, and that is the best time. So, two things can be inferred from this episode, from Chankatha. One is that need of the receiver and motive of the giver. If somebody asks you food and you give, say, take. See, you are not doing good seva.
We should do it lovingly.
Lovingly, reverentially.
With respect.
And you should provide what he needs. Like if a person is hungry, he needs food and you are providing a cloth or a shirt, that will not serve his purpose. I give you example, the seva is not limited to poor or elderly people, poor or destitute people. Few days ago, when I was going from Prashanti Leno to Delhi by Rajdhani, and I was told that Rajdhani will come platform number 3, and I was on platform number 1, and it was almost 9:30 or 9:45, taking my bag, going over the bridge and coming down, I thought it was very painful. There was no coolie at Prashanti railway station. So a person, he's noticing my quandary, came to me, he said, sir, I can help you. You want to go to that platform? I said, yes. And he dragged my bag, took me there. See, that was my immense need.
Yes.
And he fulfilled. I really gave him blessing. So really, seva is not limited to only poor people, this class, that class. Anywhere you find need, if you see a blind person who wants to cross the road,
yes,
and you provide help, that's a great seva. So motive of the giver and need of the receiver. These are the two paramount factors in seva.
The giver should see God in the receiver. That's why Swami has named it as Narayan Seva.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
He doesn't call it poor feeding, but Narayan Seva.
Exactly, Narayan Seva.
We are serving the Narayana in the beneficiaries.
In that person. Yes. And I still remember one thing which is always reverberating in my mind. In October 1997, Swami gave discourse. And it's a very famous, people know about it. And Swami said, I am ready to part with Prashanti Lilium. I am ready to part with Prashanti Lilium for the welfare of people. See? And I also quote another thing which I learned from Professor Anil Kumar. Professor Anil Kumar in his discourse mentioned about one thing. It was January 1999. And a group of nomadic tribal people came. They called Lambadis. Lambadis. So they were in a very drugged rags and just like a rustic people. So when Swami called them for interview, and Professor Anil Kumar, who was sitting in the veranda, he said, why Swami called these people? Why Swami called these people? He was wondering. And Swami bypassed Anil Kumar and stopped in front of him and asked, Anil Kumar, what are you wondering? Swami, you call these people? Swami said, are they not devotees? Don't they need interview?
They also deserve God's love.
So after that, Swami took all those people into the interview room. When the interview was over, they were bubbling with joy, happy. Eyes were shining and the glow was on their cheeks, on their face. Then Swami also came out in the last and went straight to Anil Kumar. Anil Kumar was observing how these people are happy. They have bags of clothes, the wrist watch on their hand and some other items. So Swami told Anil Kumar, look how these people are happy. Then he said, you people feed those who are already overfed. You provide cold drinks who are not thirsty. I give what they need. These people came from a village called Chella Kala Tanda village, which is located in Mehboob Nagar district in Andhra Pradesh. And they used to walk miles to fetch water. They came requesting me to provide water, and I have promised. See, this is compassion of God.
Yes.
See, this is Swami showed this, go by need.
Yes.
They needed water, and Swami promised, and now the water is being supplied. So these are the incident that we should go by the need of the receiver, because God lives within him. And we are trying to please God within him.
And also Swami has told many times that Paropakarartham idam shariram, that this is this very human birth, this human body is given for serving the humanity. Yes, sir. With that note, we'll end this conversation today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for providing opportunities. And I'm very happy to be here.
We also thank you for joining us today and sharing with us about the service activities that you have been involved in the country of Afghanistan, and also for giving us a lot of insights and a sense of seva, why we should do seva. So thank you very much, and Jai Sairam.
Okay, Jai Sairam. Thank you.
Tune in to Sight. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Science Thursday Live.
Radio Science Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, greetings and a very warm welcome once again to today's Thursday Live. This is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. and I'm joined by Brother Prem, who is helping me in playing the files from the audio console. Well, this is Radio Sai Global Harmonies Asia Stream, bringing you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And till now, in this segment, Service Love in Action, you heard a conversation that I recorded a couple of days back with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba, who is currently serving Bhagwan here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram in the Sri Satya Sai Books and Publication Division of Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust. He spoke to us about his experience of being involved in service activities in the country of Afghanistan when he had gone there as the education director for the Allied Forces. In the year 2009, he was there for about 6 years. Well, he has got a very long academic credential and a biodata. He was the education counselor and service specialist with US Army for many years, and he retired as the education director with NATO forces in Afghanistan in the year 2012. He has actually written many books on Swami, about 13 books, and he is right now writing his 14th book, which has gone for review and will be released very soon. We hope, dear listeners, that you have enjoyed this conversation with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar. Your feedback and comments and suggestions on this are welcome. You can write to us by writing to the email ID listener@radiosai.org. In fact, I'm sure that many of you in your place, in whatever capacity you can, are involved in some or the other service activities. So you'll be having a lot of experience of being involved in service activities, many divine interventions and miracles. So please do write to us about them also. In fact, you can also record these experience in your place and send us the MP3. So do mail us to the email ID listener@radiosai.org, the MP3 of the recordings of your experience of being involved in service activities. We will surely play it in one of the Thursday lives in future. Well, the time right now in our studio is 12:10, and it's a pleasant afternoon here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. So it's almost time for me to sign off, and for another 20 minutes I'll be playing for you a few songs sung and composed by Bhagwan's students for many occasions, that is, or for the occasions like sports meet, convocation, drama, etc., etc. So please enjoy the songs till 12:30, after which Brother Prem and Arvind will take over the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is afternoon satsang. So I sign off for today, and again I'll meet you next Thursday, and I'll be bringing you another new seva story from India or around the world. So till then, stay tuned, happy listening, Jai Sai Ram.
నిలచిన సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం ప్రేమ కురుపై నిలచిన సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం జగముల నేలే సద్గురు సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం ప్రకృతి పృథివీ కులచింత మమత సమతలు వెలుగొందా ప్రేమ కురుపై నిలచిన సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం శిరోజమ కుటాధారికి సార్వభౌమ స్వాగతం మందహాసవదనునికి సాదరమైన స్వాగతం ప్రేమను పంచి శాంతిని పెంచే ప్రాణమూర్తికి స్వాగతం ప్రేమను పంచి శాంతిని పెంచే ప్రాణమూర్తికి స్వాగతం భక్తిని ముక్తిని రయమును సంగే కరుణామూర్తికి స్వాగతం. మగమా మగమా గమదనిదా గమదని సనిద మగమగరిసా మగమా మగమా గమదనిదా గమదని సనిద మగమగరిసా. మా ప్రేమ కురుపై నిలచిన సాయి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం. నయనునికి నవ్యమైన స్వాగతం. తేనె కురిపించు కంఠునికి మాధుర్యమైన స్వాగతం. చెక్కిలిపైన చుక్కతో ఉన్న చక్కని సాయికి స్వాగతం. చెక్కిలిపైన చుక్కతో ఉన్న చక్కని సాయికి స్వాగతం. కలలో ఇలలో ఎన్నడు వీడని మా స్వామికి స్వాగతం. మగమా మగమా గమదనిదా గమదని సనిద మగమగరిసా. మా ప్రేమ కురుపై నిలచిన సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం. జగముల నేలే సద్గురు సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం. ప్రకృతి పృథివీ పులకించ మమత సమతను వెలుగొంద. మా ప్రేమ కురుపై నిలచిన సాయి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగత. గమదని సనిదమ గమగరిస మగమ మగమ గమదనిదా గమదని సనిదమ గమగరిస మగమ మగమ గమదనిదా గమదని సనిదమ.
కరుణయనే కనువిందుగానే కదిలే ख्वाबों में मेरे तुझको सवारूं हर इन आँखों में निखरती हर आशा में तू है, इस दिल के हर कोमल एहसास में तू है।
माया तेरा प्यार है, इस धुन का यही सार है, वो प्यारे
मन सुनो मौन में बलि के गीतमयी प्रेम तो मन सुनो मौन में दिले संगीतमयी
Oh,
Sundara Nama.